Thank you, Greg.
They put that together. Actually, it was put together, performed by a gentleman from Prestonsburg, Kentucky. Corey Caudill put that together, and I saw it on a YouTube a few weeks ago, and I asked Greg if they could do it, and I thought it was just a perfect lead-in to our new year and to the message after Christmas. Can you imagine being the adopted father of Christ and looking at him and his manger? And I'm going to skip ahead to this particular slide, which also captured my attention. I saw it this week in another venue, and it was a protest site. And the reason I got it on a particular blog is because Facebook blocked this image as being offensive. And someone protested enough that after a few weeks, Facebook relented and allowed this image to be posted on someone's Facebook site. But as I was reading that article, I read past the controversy around it, and I just looked at the imagery that's there. Take a moment and just look at what's portrayed there. Oftentimes we think of the secular Christmas of Santa and gifts and malls and online orders and waiting for UPS and FedEx all to make their deliveries in time that we can all get them wrapped. And I've always thought that there was a mutual exclusivity to those two, and that, boy, it would be nice if we had more religion in Christmas and less commercialization. And then I saw that photo. And there is our secular Santa. Now, you can say the history of St. Nicholas has some religious overtones, but for the most part, Santa Claus is looked at from putting presents under the Christmas tree. And sometimes we lose sight of the greatest gift of all, the gift of God's Son. And I just thought this image really put things into a perspective that in our lives we can take just a moment and pause and look at the world a little differently in the same way that this Santa did and in the same way that Joseph did as he peered down, as the praise band sang, the sleepy little baby boy. As he looked at him, wondering what his future would hold, did he know what he came to this world to do as he lay there as an infant? Did he know what was going to happen to him? And it's not unlike how we look at the future. This being the last Sunday, we have New Year's Eve tomorrow. We all anticipate that new year, and oftentimes we do it with what? Resolutions. Now, you can fill in the blank, and I see Brenda going, oh, boy. Another year as she shakes her head, and we all make all these great resolutions. We have great plans. Probably some include exercise, maybe, lose weight. I asked earlier if Olivia, who's controlling our Facebook, and I'd like to welcome those that are joining us in our worship service on Facebook, if she could take that camera and somehow stretch me. It would be easier to achieve my resolution of losing weight, eating healthy, whatever it might be. And sometimes I wonder how effective we all are at keeping our resolutions. And one thing that struck me as I prepared for this message is that probably the greatest resolution that I could make and the greatest resolution all of us could make is as we look at this new year, develop our resolutions by turning our thoughts all to God, and then do the rest of our resolutions. By that I mean, where is your mindset? What does he want you to do in the next year, and how does he want you to think about it? And sometimes that can be overwhelming when we start to think about all of the things that we want to do and change. And sometimes we shake our heads because we don't think can't get through it. We don't have the strength to do all of that. And I was reminded of how difficult it can be, but when you turn yourself over to God and let him guide you, I happened upon a video or a documentary this week. I do a monthly newsletter for a law enforcement-oriented newsletter. And in January, we're doing some training on human trafficking, and I didn't know anything about human trafficking. So I began to do some research this past week. And there's a gentleman out of Utah who's a former law enforcement officer who was involved in the sex slave trafficking, human trafficking, and things of that nature in his professional career. He became so overwhelmed by it, he gave up his career, he gave up everything to start a nonprofit organization to rescue individuals that are primarily young children that are kidnapped at age 1, 2, and 3 for adoption purposes in countries around the world, and then for the sex slave trafficking. And he was so overwhelmed by it, he started his own organization to try to rescue these folks. And the number one consumer, unfortunately, just like drugs, the same with human trafficking, is the United States. The vast majority are brought into the United States. And someone told him, how can you make a difference? It's just too big and it's overwhelming. And he shared a story that maybe many of you have heard before, but it's about a young man after a hurricane or a storm was walking across the beach, and there were all kinds of starfish that were up on the beach, just by the thousands, as far as your eye could see on this particular beach. And he started bending down, and one by one, he's throwing these starfish back into the ocean to save them. And an older gentleman, somewhat cynical, came up to him and said, what are you doing? He said, you can't make any difference. Look at this beach. There's starfish as far as you can see. How are you going to make a difference? And that young man grabbed one starfish, threw it in the ocean, and he said, I made a difference in that starfish's life. And I think when you look at the new year and you look at ways that you can look at the world in it from a different perspective, it's really looking at it from that young man's perspective. Even if it's just one thing you do differently next year that impacts one life, it doesn't matter how many other lives are on that beach, you've impacted one significant person. And the nice thing about that, I read a saying many, many years ago, it said, God doesn't care about who you were. He cares about who you are. And the new year gives us that chance to refocus on who we are. Now, some of us may be turning away some things we wish we didn't do. Maybe we didn't eat as many chocolates or candies or whatever the case might be. Maybe we have difficulty with letting go. We joked last week, and this is on the fly here, but we're going to milk this as far as we can, Bruce. Some of you may have heard us make a joke last week, and for those that weren't here, during prayers and concerns, I asked for prayers for Donna because of Bruce's health condition. The doctor says, I don't want him driving for the next, I don't know whether it's 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, whatever it might be. But whatever the case is, Bruce doesn't like not being able to drive. And I haven't asked him why, but I guess I could tell you why. Because when you can't drive, I see it with my parents, when they couldn't drive anymore, what do they lose? They lose their independence. They lose that control. They don't have their hands on the wheel. And I guess what I'm saying with the message today is, you make your new resolutions, let God grab the wheel of your life. Let God guide you in those new resolutions that you make so that He's steering you wherever it might be, whatever the situation you might find yourself. And I'll put the steering wheel right there, Bruce, if that's all right. But some things we've done, we think, well, we'll just turn the new page and things will be forgotten. And I saw a quote from C.S. Lewis. And he said, we, as people, have a strange illusion that mere time cancels sin. But mere time does nothing either to the fact of the sin or to the guilt of the sin. The guilt is washed out not by time, but by repentance and the blood of Christ. If we have repented these early sins, we should remember the price of our forgiveness and be humble. So as we turn the page into the next year, whatever it might be, we all of us do it. There's only one perfect person, and he was sacrificed on the cross. So what C.S. Lewis is saying, it's not enough just to say, okay, go into the next year and not ask for forgiveness and the repentance and the peace that comes with that forgiveness. It's all about where your mind is as you approach the new year. And as Debbie read early on in the scripture in Philippians, it said, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. The mindset is so important because that frames what we do every moment of our day from the time we wake up until the time we go to bed. Now, your heart can influence your mind, but it's the choices that we make that determine what happens. And it can be powerful. The mind can really change how you see the world and how you see things. Think about the people that, and I'm old enough to remember Karen Carpenter, a singer who died in her 30s, because when she looked in the mirror, she always saw that she was fat. She was skinny as a rail. She suffered from anorexia. But because her mind was telling her she was never where she wanted to be, she kept losing weight and losing weight and losing weight and losing weight until she ultimately died of a heart attack. But that's where her mind was controlling what she saw in that mirror. Sometimes people go before a mirror and they're absolutely beautiful and they don't see that. They've convinced themselves that they're the ugly duckling, and that's all they see in that mirror. Again, it's where their mind is. I think back years ago, and I may have shared this story before, but I used to volunteer at Children's Hospital, and we would, every Wednesday night, you'd go there for 4 hours and just go into a big room like this, and they would bring patients in, and they would assign you kids to work with, and they just wanted you to do whatever the child wanted to do. And they would bring in 20 or 30 children, and it was, when you're there in the long-term area, you see a lot of the same kids every week. And one of them was a child about 2 years old that had been in a crib that was lit on fire by their brother or sister. And there was nothing left of this child. Did not look like a human being. And I always, week after week after week, my mindset was, I dreaded if my name got called to care for that particular child because I didn't know if I could handle it. But then one Wednesday night I went in, it was my night. And I'll tell you, my mind was changed. I went over to that body that had no semblance of a body. But all I saw was love. It was amazing. It was a young girl. In her eyes, I saw through to her soul. And all of a sudden, the deformities of her body that were massive, I honestly and truly didn't see anymore because my mind had been changed. And it's a powerful, powerful influence on your life. And Paul recognized this. In about 60 AD, he was imprisoned, and he was writing various letters to the churches. And he knew the Philippian church, the Colossians or Colossus, Church of Colossus, and Philippi, and some others. He knew that they had faith, but he also understood that they had to practice differently. He had to change their minds about practicing who they were and how they acted out in their faith. And in Ephesians, he said, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And in Colossians, he wrote in chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, very similar. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil, desires, greed. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things, such as anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. He was essentially saying to them that once you turn your life over to God, you also have to begin practicing. And it will come naturally that you'll turn away from all the things that were taking place. Now, you could argue that the idolatry and the practices that were taking place back then when he wrote these letters are different than what we deal with today. But I don't know that we're all that different than we were thousands of years ago relative to being able to look at a new year and turning a new page. And the Bible gives some guidance to us on how we can use our mind to practice our faith. It's a little small print, but in Romans it says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and perfect will." And from Philippians chapter 4, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." So I would ask that as you celebrate New Year's Eve tomorrow, and we usher in our new year, and as you scribble down some of your resolutions, do what God is asking us to do. Set our minds differently. Prepare our resolutions a little bit differently. And to that end, you had a handout in your bulletin, and Bud said to me when he got his bulletin, "Oh, what's this handout?" And I said, "Well, it's going to be homework from the lectern." And he went, "Homework? I've never gone to a worship service where you had homework." He said, "How much time do I have?" Now, I didn't think about how to answer that question, Bud. Do we know how much time we each have? I told him, "You've got a year. You've got 2019 to work on these." But this is something that Sally shared with the adult Sunday school class this morning, and I thought it would be a good... You're shaking your head no? Oh, okay. So, forget what I just said. For those in adult Sunday school class, you were told you were going to get this during the worship service. But this is a practical way to take a look at the new year and incorporate God into our change and changing our mindset with some things that you can do with your family. I won't go over all of it. But it's there for you to get to that point where your mind is different. Paul knew, again, writing from that prison, that he had converted many Christians. He knew that they had a faith and that they were following Christ, but he also knew that they had to have practices in place in their daily living that constantly reminded of the promise and the blessing of God's Son. Just as Joseph was looking into that manger in that sleepy little baby boy, he knew that he had to have guidance and direction as he went through his life. And as you do that, just know that God makes all things new in this coming new year. Let us end in prayer. Our Father, as we turn the page on this year of 2018 and we turn to a new year, we look to you as the foundation for everything that we do in our life, for every choice, every decision that we make, that you give us strength when we need strength to turn away from the temptations, when we need your peace to offer to someone in need. And in those times where we're just not sure what direction to take, what route to take, what road to take, what turn to take, that we pause and we ask for your guidance. And that you open our hearts and our minds so that we can hear those that are seeking to do your will on our behalf in our lives. But most of all, we come to you with the hope of a new year that we can do your will. In your name we pray. Amen.